Okay, this is Klaus Rumler from Online Educa 2010 in Berlin, and I'm speaking with Professor Sugata Mitra from Newcastle University and asking him to introduce himself a little bit.
My name is Sugata Mitra. I'm a professor of educational technology at the School of Education, Communication and Language Sciences at Newcastle University, United Kingdom.
And yesterday I've heard that you given a presentation and received lots of feedback. I haven't had the opportunity to witness it, but can you tell me more about it?
Well, I was speaking about the last 12 years of work that I've done, about 8 years in India and 4 years in the United Kingdom. And the topic was self-organized learning. In other words, where groups of learners organize their own learning. Since the audience was teachers, it was very interesting to see their reactions. And I got some really good questions. For example, the teacher said, "I have read about your work and I have tried it, but it didn't work." So I said, "Well, what did you do?" And she described what she had done. The problem is that the method that I'm proposing, where learners form groups and research a subject, particularly children, and then the teacher observes how far they have managed on their own and fills in the rest, not by teaching, but with yet another question. This is the gist of the method. It's a very fragile method. While it's happening, if the teacher were to simply get up and say, "Please be quiet," all the research stops. There was another question yesterday from a teacher who said, "You know, many children in Germany have become very pessimistic about schooling. They are just not interested. This will be very difficult for us to implement." And I felt like saying, it seems to me that you have given up. The children can sense that you have given up. If you tell children, "I don't like you," then what choice do the children have but to say, in that case, "We don't like you"? That's not a good situation to have in education. My work shows that children can research on their own and reach very high levels of learning, but if there is a friendly but not knowledgeable mediator, who simply is there and admires them and says, "Wow, I couldn't have done that so quickly," then the learning accelerates. So you have to trust the children, otherwise this method doesn't work. There were many teachers who understood this instinctively, and many who I was happy to see have actually used it themselves. So I'm very happy with OEB. I think it went very well.
This is interesting because what I'm gathering is that you're not primarily talking about learning or the learning process of the children, but the research which children are conducting. Can you expand on this research approach?
Well, let's suppose that you are a teacher, your class is about 10 or 11 years old. The topic is a topic from physics. You're going to talk to them about motion and about what happens when things collide. You could normally start the class by saying, "Today we will do Newton's laws of motion." Everybody in today's children will yawn loudly and fall asleep because they don't know why you are telling them all this. What I would do is I would show them Google Earth. I would zoom in on Geneva. I would show them the 26-kilometer long Large Hadron Collider, and I would say, "Guess what that is?" So the 11-year-old would say, "That's huge. Well, what is it?" And he'd say, "That is the modern cathedral of particle physics. Things move around inside that at the speed of light." And then you smash them into each other and you look at what new things come out of there. So now you've got the attention. Then they say, "Well, what happens? What do they find?" I say, "They are looking for something called a Higgs boson. When we find it, we'll know the answers to everything." So So now they're even more interested. And you say, and you know what happens when things hit each other? No, what happens? So, well, it's a long story. I'll take you back to a man called Newton. Now you can do what you like.
Okay, I see. So where does technology in this place come in? What which role does technology play in this research-based approach?
This would not have worked in a generation which had only libraries for searching for information. It's not half as fun. You need search engines. You need a huge network. If you have those, then you don't have to give any answers. You just have to give them questions. You can tell them, tell me what happens when two things hit each other. I'll give you 15 minutes and I'll give you Google. And they'll tell you. When they tell you, they remember the answers. So that's the big difference between education or learning in this way, as opposed to saying, today's class is about this.
Okay, one last question. What great output did strike you on this conference, and what are you taking with you as new things from OEB?
The biggest change in this OEB from the last time I was here, which was about 2 or 3 years ago, I think. 3 years ago, self-organizing social networks were almost absent. They were there, but people didn't quite realize what impact they had. They didn't think that such huge self-organizing networks would do anything for education directly. They were still talking about lessons. Now they're not. Now they are willing to talk about other things. That, I think, is a big positive change. It also indicates that the system has finally realized that traditional education is fumbling. It's either breaking or it is broken. If that is true, we are on excellent ground. Then OEB is in a position to say we have to move now and we have to change now. I hope that happens.
This is a very nice word to end this interview. Thank you very much, Sugata Mitra. It was a real pleasure to have you here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.